So I remember when I was in seminary and I would come back because I lived very far away, my pastor would always make sure to embarrass me in front of everybody when I came back from Mass. So it's wonderful to have seminarian Luke here with us today. But, and then, you know, at the beginning of Mass, Mr. Wurttemberger up here said, "Father, let's smoke him out today." And I said, "Okay, I'm not singing, do your worst." We didn't quite get the same effect as Epiphany today, I don't think. Different incense didn't work as well. The gospel today has a ton of stuff in it. There's all sorts of things we can talk about. We have the rich man and Lazarus. We have this vision of the afterlife in here that can teach us something about it. We even have this line at the very end, "Neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." Gee, I wonder what Christ is talking about there. There's so much in today's gospel. But I would like to simply focus on the characters, the rich man and Lazarus. I was reading a commentary on this gospel from Cyril of Alexandria, who died 1600 or 1700 years ago. I can't remember exactly. And he noted a couple of things. He said, "The rich man is never given a name. We don't know what the rich man's name was. We know Lazarus's name, but not the name of the rich man. It's as if he didn't really matter all that much, which is odd to us who live in this world even now, because riches and wealth and power, these are the things, you know, that everybody aspires to. These are the things that everybody thinks is important. And yet, in this parable, it's not. This parable told by Jesus Christ from the mouth of God, the name of the rich man is not important." Cyril of Alexandria says that that's because those who do not fear the Lord, he will not speak their name. And you see this in Psalm 34. It says, "The Lord's face is against evildoers to wipe out their memory from the earth," which is pretty stark. It doesn't meet with the narrative that we sometimes hear of God being this nice fellow in the sky who just does favors for people. He has a standard and he wants us to live up to it. And the rich man in this parable who walked past Lazarus every day and didn't do a single thing for him, he did not live up to it. In fact, this line about the dogs is fascinating, that the dogs even used to come and lick his sores. Again, Cyril noted that the beasts treated Lazarus with more care and more respect than the rich man did, because they at least tried to do something for him. They at least tried to bring him some comfort. And so that's very instructive for us, to not ignore the needs of our neighbors. And in fact, that's the same point that is being made in the first reading by the prophet Amos. Amos is speaking to the leaders of Jerusalem, the leaders of the southern kingdom, the two tribes in the south of Israel. And they're reclining comfortably, eating all they can, drinking all they can, anointing themselves with fancy oils, all of these things. Meanwhile, the 10 kingdoms of the north are being invaded, destroyed, enslaved, and exiled. And these two tribes of Israel, their brothers, are not doing anything to help them. And so Amos is calling them to account. He's telling them that this will not be forgotten. And he's telling them, they shall be the first to go into exile. So these people who are dining and having a good time while their neighbors are being destroyed, they were indeed the first ones to go into exile. If you read the history of the southern kingdom, it was the rich, the craftsmen, the people who could do these things. They were the first to be sent to Babylon. And so this prophecy became true very quickly, within 100 years of Amos making it. The Lord doesn't mess around when he tells us that you must care, you must love your neighbor. In fact, we get that in the gospel too. I dusted off the Bible, see? Okay, sorry, it was a bad joke. Christ, in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for the one of these least of my brothers, you did for me." But then he continues. He says, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me." Our Lord is not messing around. We have to love our neighbor. We have to care about the people around us. And how do we do that? How do we make sure that we are not like the rich man? How do we strive to be like someone who will care for these people? St. Paul begins to show us the way. He says, "Man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." He tells us, "Compete well for the faith." Righteousness, giving people what is due to them, what they deserve. Devotion, faith, and love. These are how we stay close to God. And when we stay close to God, we desire to do His will. That's the whole point of staying close to God, to unify our will with His. And then patience and gentleness. These are good virtues in general, but honestly, after having worked at the Lord's Diner one summer during my time in seminary, I know that patience and gentleness are virtues that you must have when you are dealing with people who are struggling in this life. Patience to let them speak to you and just hear their story. Gentleness to just be with them and not judge them. All of these things, these are the ways that we stay close to God, that we avoid the fate of the rich man who is in torment and flames. St. Paul tells us to compete well for the faith. It's a reminder to us that seeking these virtues, seeking to live well, seeking the will of God, it's not easy. If he's calling on us to compete for it, it means that there are going to be things, there are going to be creatures, there are going to be people in the way. Namely, the devil and his minions, but also the things of this world that attract us away from doing what God has asked us. We have to compete well for our faith, to strive and to struggle each and every day, to have that faith and that love in God that will allow us to do His will. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this week and through the rest of our lives, let us remember that we are called to compete well for our faith so that we can love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul and love our neighbor as ourself. And let's always remember just how important Christ thinks these things are. Parables like what we hear in today's gospel remind us of that. So let us strive every day to compete well for the faith.